The Bible tells us that true love suffers long and is kind and rejoices in truth. God's kind of love is not easily provoked and does not rejoice in sin. True love endures. That kind of love is impossible without the power of the Holy Spirit living in our lives. Elizabeth Elliot has experienced great loss, including the tragic death of her husband Jim at the hands of a fierce Indian tribe decades ago. But her message continues to focus on the love that triumphs in the face of evil. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Here's Elizabeth Elliot to share some of the lessons she's learned in her lifelong study of God's Word.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking today, well, not exactly talking, telling some stories. But the stories come from the most wonderful book in the world. You know what that is. Do you love stories? Well, I do. I had a father and a mother and a grandfather and an aunt who told us stories as we were growing up. And every day, the Bible was read in our home, every morning after breakfast, every evening after supper. And one of the things that fascinates me is the biographies of the Bible. And I would strongly urge you, if you have not studied the Bible with that in mind, you'll be amazed at what you can learn about the characters that are therein described. You'll find that all the great characters turned out to be great sinners. That may startle some of you. Well, you haven't read your Bible. Read it. A biography is a life story. And what I love about biographies is that you can see the whole plan of God from birth to death, the ways in which God led and corrected and taught an individual. The value of studying these will open our eyes, I think, to the ways in which God works, the way He engineers circumstances and arranges and disposes all things. In other words, God's is a perfect chronology, a flawless chronology. He knows exactly what He's doing. A lady once said to me, "Sometimes I don't understand God." I felt like saying to her, "Well, join the club." Who of us could ever imagine that we can understand God? Evelyn Underhill said, "If God were small enough to be understood, He would not be big enough to be worshipped." So let's look at the story of Samuel. Well, where do we find it? It's the 9th book in the Bible. And if you're anything like me, you have a terrible memory about the Old Testament books of the Bible. I think I can get through the New Testament ones without hesitating. But I'm very glad that in Sunday school, we were taught to sing the books of Moses. And it went like this: "Let us sing the books of Moses, of Moses, of Moses. Let us sing the books of Moses, for he wrote the law, first Genesis, then Exodus, then Leviticus, then Numbers. And the 5th is Deuteronomy, the last of them all." And then come Joshua, Judges, Ruth, and Samuel. So Samuel is the book that we're going to be looking at. Do you believe that God guides people? Some of you might say, "Well, yeah, some of them." Does He interfere with people's plans? So it seems, quite often, doesn't it? Do you believe that He can do anything He wants? Or is He in charge only of some of the things that happen? George MacDonald said, "If I said to myself, 'God sometimes interferes,' my faith would at once be struck blind. I see Him in everything, a love that watches and hears. He's either that, or He is merely a mist fumed up in men's minds." He also says, "People talk about special providences. I believe in the providences, but not in the specialty. I do not believe that God lets the thread of my affairs go for 6 days, and on the 7th evening, takes it up for a moment. The so-called special providences are no exception to the rule. They are common to all men at all moments. But it is a fact that God's care is more evident in some instances of it than in others to the dim and often bewildered vision of humanity. Upon such instances, men seize and call them providences. It is well that they can. But it would be gloriously better if they could believe that the whole matter is one grand providence. That's what I believe, that the whole matter is one grand providence. And the older we get, I think the more perspective we gain on this amazing and wonderful and, to me, absolutely fascinating question of God's chronology. Now, Samuel was a child much prayed for. Hannah was a woman much loved by her husband, Elkanah, but the Lord had not given her a child. I'm going to read to you from 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 9 to 20. Once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow, saying, O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, How long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine. Not so, my lord, Hannah replied. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. Eli answered, Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. She said, May your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning, they arose and worshiped before the Lord, and then went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah lay with Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, Because I asked the Lord for him. So this was a very much prayed for child, and therefore much loved. And Hannah made up her mind to present him to the Lord. As soon as he was old enough to eat, she took him to the temple and the house of the Lord at Shiloh. And this is what the Bible says. When they had slaughtered the bull, they brought the boy to Eli. And she said to him, As surely as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he shall be given over to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. And then Hannah sings a song of praise, and it's a very long song, so I'm not going to read all of that to you, but this is part of it. My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn, and a horn in the Old Testament was a symbol of power. The Lord, my might or my power, is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. The bows of the warriors are broken, but those who stumbled are armed with strength. It is not by strength that one prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be shattered. He will thunder against them from heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to the king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Then Elkanah went home to Ramah, and the boy ministered before the Lord under Eli the priest. So this little boy, who had grown up to a certain age, was serving in the temple. He ran errands, I suppose. He learned. He listened. And he was always at the order of the priest, his servant. And he slept in the temple where the ark was. And this is one of my favorite stories, especially when I was a child. I just love this story. In chapter 3, it says, "The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli, and in those days the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, 'Here I am.' And he ran to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.' But Eli said, 'I didn't call. Go back and lie down.' So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, 'Samuel.' And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.' 'My son,' Eli said, 'I did not call. Go back and lie down.' Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.' Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, 'Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.' So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' Then Samuel said, 'Speak, for your servant is listening.'"
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.